The first part of our reading this morning talked about righteousness, and the second part talked about the Lord's Prayer. And we use the word beware. Beware meaning to think constantly about our righteousness in God's eyes, not in other people's eyes. We're not to compare. We're just to look at ourselves compared to God. Righteousness in the Jewish culture of the time had three aspects. It was almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And all of these were to be done privately. Jesus warned us about worrying about what others notice. The Greek word that they used was theomai. I probably said it wrong, but it means theater, where our word theater comes from. And it's used for emphasis, to not be like a theater, to not be like a performer when we come to God. Hypocrites gave out pride and vainglory, and Jesus made two points in this reading. They have their reward. They don't have God's reward, they have their reward, meaning right here, right now. And the second one is that this is a present reward, meaning right here and right now, and not in heaven. I'd rather have my reward in heaven, right? The Greek word here were too hard for me to even try to say, but it means received in full. They've received in full. Jesus taught humility and sincerity, and he pressed this on his disciples. All disciples pray. Paul, the minute he was converted, began to pray. Mutely said, believers show their personal relationship to God in unobserved activities more than any other way. But there are two things that Jesus said to do publicly. It's to let our light shine, like the song, This Little Light of Mine, right? And it's to confess Jesus to others. So our focus then is on the receiver and not on the observers, right? The receiver. When we take the least notice of our good deeds done in helping others, guess who takes the most notice? God, our Father in heaven. Why did Jesus talk about righteousness, do you think, right before he talked about the Lord's Prayer? Does Jesus do anything coincidentally? He always does things with a purpose. So he's talking about right before he talks about the Lord's Prayer. He also talks about rewards. Their reward is paid in full, meaning noticed by mankind, and that's the end of it. We have to ask ourselves, where will our reward come from? When we come to Jesus with a contrite and humble heart, we are then prepared to talk with him, direct and concise, as the Lord's Prayer model gives us. And sometimes, we can't talk at all. Sometimes we talk to Jesus in groans that only the Holy Spirit can testify for. And sometimes we have very long, full conversations with God. But prayer is the first order of business if you're a Christian. We all awake with agendas every day. I'm really guilty of this. We have work, we have meetings, we have appointments, housework, laundry, yard work, bills, and jail girls. And some of us hit the ground running. Others, like Rick and Danny, require a little bit of prompting in the morning. But regardless of our personality type, conversation with God is our very first order of business. Are we not blessed? Are we not thankful that we have a breath this morning? Prayer should be a habitual action. Nobody forgets to brush their teeth and wash their face in the morning, right? So we should also remember to pray every morning. It should be our first order of business. N. Graham Lopp said, we need to immerse ourselves in three things: God's work, refocusing our faith, and refreshing our spirit. And all three of them are done with prayer first. Amen. Refocusing our faith and refreshing our spirit. So God gave us a model prayer. Cyprian named it the Lord's Prayer in 250 A.D. There's seven phrases in the Lord's Prayer, and the first three relate to God, and the last four relate to our needs. And Jesus told us how to pray. He was very explicit in this. He said, and he encouraged us to pray undisturbed, just like he showed us. He went up to a mountain to pray, quietly. Jesus encouraged us to pray persistently. I prayed for 30 years for my father's faith, and God answered my prayer. Jesus encouraged us to pray concisely. This prayer was a model. It wasn't meant to be the only praying that we did. Rushing through it and giving it lip service without engaging our heart is a sin before God. Matthew Henry also talked about those who pray in too many words, and he used some interesting words that I had to personally look up. The first was bathology, saying the same words repetitively. The second was tropology, saying the same thing in different words. And the third one was idle babbling, going on and on and on. We've all known people who talk in big, giant circles, in big, giant circles, and don't make the point. And that's what he's talking about. Are we so arrogant to think that God needs our explanation of what we're praying for? The priests of Baal even prayed all day. God knows our needs. He doesn't need a long wish list. Not all repetition is bad, but Jesus says vain repetition is. If you cannot say much to the purpose, this is just pleasing to God. So let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer. I forgot to ask, does everybody have a bulletin this morning? If you don't, raise your hand, and Cheryl will make sure you have one. Okay. Jesus taught this prayer to instruct us, showing how to pray. And there were so many corruptions that had crept into the synagogue prayers that Jesus saw the need to instruct. But he still gives us the freedom to just talk to him as well. So we'll start with the first petition, Our Father in Heaven. One of the highest honors that we can give to God is to call him our Father. And some of us have a problem with that, having not had good earthly fathers. And I've often had people ask, well, if your father was not a very good father, how can you say our Father in Heaven and relate to that? For me, my father was not a very good father. He was absent. He didn't really care about our activities or anything when I was growing up. But I looked to my heavenly father as everything my earthly father was not. Everything. And so I take great comfort in my heavenly father. We who were born into the realm of Satan, if we live a lifestyle following the world, we're calling Satan our father. And that's a really strong statement. We have our baby Ryan they were talking about coming this morning, but they're a little afraid because of the flu season, so they didn't make it. But just a beautiful, tiny little baby. And yet that tiny little baby was born into sin. And that's hard for us to grasp because they're so beautiful and they're so perfect. And yet he was born into sin. So it's what we do with our life after birth, though. And if we continue to follow a lifestyle of following the world, we're replacing God our Father with Satan our Father in this world. We reference here God in heaven. He's everywhere. There's no place that can contain him. But we're referencing in heaven because of his deity and his glory. Amen? Hallowed be your name. What's hallowed mean? It means honored, respected, holy. It's how we should reverence God. One of my very favorite songs is the old hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. It's one of my favorites because it was a favorite of my grandmother, and it's a favorite of my mother, and it's a favorite of me because I grew up with it in my Lutheran school. And when my grandmother was dying, I sang that song to her. And it just implanted itself in my heart, and it always will. When my neighbor was dying, and I was driving at the time, I felt so pumped to pray that song, to sing that song again. And I sang that song, and I felt all around me like she was singing with me. All around me, I was surrounded by it. And it felt the strongest feeling that I had ever had. And I found out 1 hour later that she had died at that moment that we were singing together. So Holy, Holy, Holy is a very important song to me, but Think about this. The angels are falling on their knees, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." I don't think we can even grasp how holy the word holy is. I talked about an aorist verb the last time I talked, and it's a verb that is past, present, and future, all at the same time. We don't have anything like it in the English language, but it means all the tenses, and this is one of those verbs. Hallowed be your name. This shows urgency and emphasis. I added this just this morning because God told me to, so... I've heard a lot of people say, "I swear to God," or "Oh God," or calling damnation down from God. Every single one of those things is not honoring God. Every single one of them. So, if that's a habit in your life, I would encourage you to drop it. Your kingdom come. This invokes God's control of earth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, as was preached by John the Baptist, as was preached by Jesus himself, and we even sing it in the song, "Even so, come, Lord." It's God's promise, and we acknowledge it here, that his kingdom is coming. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are saying, let us be obedient to you at all times. Let us adore you and constantly and fully be in your will in our life. Yes, we who are vain, ignorant, defiled by sin, can holiness possibly dwell within us? Jesus would not have us pray this if it could not. Jesus never has us pray for the impossible. Can earth be tuned into the harmony of heaven? Yes, sir. Spurgeon says, yes, it can. And it must. For a prayer worked in the soul by the Holy Spirit is always the shadow of a coming blessing. I'm going to repeat that because I really loved it. A prayer worked in the soul by the Holy Spirit is always the shadow of a coming blessing. This is a brave petition. This is a total surrendering. And this is a petition that we can only utter with a whole faith. Lord, let your perfect purpose be accomplished in this world as well as the next. Give us today your daily bread. This is our petition. This begins our petition back to God. We live by faith every day. Those in recovery in here sing the song one day at a time, because we don't plan for our entire future. We plan one day at a time. And this petition does the same thing. In the days of Jesus in the Middle East, the women baked the bread in the morning. By afternoon, by late evening, that bread was a hockey puck, okay? So they had to use that bread in the same day. It was unusable the next day. So give us today our daily bread was very real for them. When Rick and I were traveling in Mexico on the Spanish immersion, we noticed that people went to the store every day. They went to the market every day. Because what they had for dinner depends on what they got paid today. Whether they had any meat in their soup depended on their paycheck today. If they didn't get a paycheck today, it was vegetable soup. God says this petition meets our needs for today. In this we recognize our needs. Our need is going to be met, and everything is a gift from God. And we don't search for what others have, but we pray for our needs. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some versions say trespasses, some say debts, but every one of them refers to our rebellion against God. There's a price that we have to pay for rebellion. We must be loving and forgiving to expect the same of God for us. Spurgeon said, "Pray with a heart purged of the spirit of revenge and all unkindness. Unless our sin is forgiven, we have no comfort in our life." Matthew Henry says, "We owe a debt of duty to our Creator, obedience to His will. With our non-payment of that debt, we receive a debt of punishment." This is probably the hardest petition for some of the women in the jail, because many of them have been through abuse in their lives. and many of them have dealt with parents who were non-existent or who were abusive in some one way or the other. And this is a difficult petition to ask for others to be forgiven in order for us to receive forgiveness. This is something we all have to work on. It's not something we do naturally. But if you take God's wrath too lightly, we're obliged to pay the penalty. So we're asking in here to cancel our punishment. And lead us not into temptation. Again, this is an aorist verb, but this one is a negative aorist verb. It means do not ever lead into temptation. God tests believers not to destroy us, but to strengthen us. Now, does God tempt us? No, he does not. He doesn't do the tempting, but sometimes he allows us to be led into situations that will test our faith. Or call us into faith. We're saying that we're forgiven, and now help us not to return to those sins. Dodridge had a paraphrase in here that says, do not bring us into circumstances of pressing temptation, lest our virtue should be vanquished and our souls endangered. But if we must be tried, do graciously rescue us from the power of the evil one. So Lord, if we must step into a situation that's going to tempt us, please give us the strength to avoid it. Deliver us from the evil one. Prayer isn't dispensable, but we have to pray. The devil knows that when we go to pray, we're going to grab on to the strength from above, and we're not going to be overcome by Satan's evil. Think that for a minute. The devil knows that when we pray, we are not praying in our own strength. We are literally grabbing on to the strength of our Heavenly Father, and we're stepping out to meet the devil right where he stands. We have more power in us than he has. Anywhere, on this earth or anywhere, we have more power in us. I can never understand this as human beings, I don't know. We forget. We have days, things are terrible, and we forget. And we forget that we have the power of God inside of us. We can resist anything. He will carry us through everything. He has his power. We only have natural power, but God gives us supernatural power. Amen? The early church was a praying church. They prayed continually for unity and consistency. It's prayer, not power, that changes things. Pray for righteousness, a righteous example in our lives. 1,000 believers can live righteously and nobody's going to notice it. But let one believer fall into temptation, and it's noticed by a lot of people. If you've seen preachers on TV and then watched them fall and listen to the entire public talking, oh yeah, that guy's a believer. They're an example of a believer. Our actions speak our faith. Deliver us from the evil one, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice that this was not in the reading? That's because this line was added in the Didache, a Christian text around 90 AD. Now, Pastor Rick has talked about things that are written and how close they were to the date of the scriptures. Because there's some consistency in that, there's some believability in that, because some of the people that were there with our Lord were still alive when these 90 AD is really close to the year of our Lord, right? The words themselves come from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 13. And I'm going to ask Pastor Rick to read that.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name.
They're included to encourage our faith and excite our fervency. Can you be excited about our Lord? I hope so. Spurgeon said that he doubted that Jesus meant this prayer to be used as frivolously as some do today. He taught it only to his disciples. The fast, current way prayer has is a sin on the part of the prayer. As a son or daughter, we have a duty of obedience, and we know that we're only acceptable to God by the sacrifice of Jesus, not by our good works. We've really been delivered from hell, every single one of us. Good, bad, or indifferent, we've been delivered from hell. Amen? Of our own, we're awful, and yet we somehow are accepted as a child of God. That's a miracle in itself, is it not? The God who made this universe accepted me as his child? Really? Think of the miracle of that. All of us. Not just me. All-encompassing righteousness is coming soon as Jesus returns. Let's live our lives today as if he's returning in 2 hours. If Jesus was returning in 2 hours, how would behavior change? He is returning, and he's binding Satan who tempts us. We don't know when he's returning. He says we won't know the time or place, but he'll come like a thief in the night. If last thing is binding gossip, he's binding attitude, he's binding impatience and evil thoughts and our own will over the good of others, Lord, bind these acts of Satan. Pray to that end. When we can say, thy will, Lord, take captive our thoughts, take our pain, take our vengeance, take our stubbornness, have it our own way. Help us live holy life, only one thought at a time, one word at a time, and one deed at a time, moment by moment, living fully for you. Amen. Let it be so. I want to do something a little bit different now, and if you'll look at your bulletins, we usually pray our Lord's Prayer at the end of the words of institution when we receive communion, but we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to pray our Lord's Prayer now. And I'm going to pray the petition that you are used to hearing. And I'd like you to pray the explanation that is written below it in your bulletin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be
your Lord. Your kingdom come, you control all, Lord, help me relinquish to you. Your will be done, Holy Spirit, continue your work in my soul. On earth as it is in heaven, you reign, help us to have your holiness growing up. Give us today your daily bread, you know my needs, I'm praising you filling on me. Forgive us our debts, forgive my rebellion, Lord. Remove my punishment. As we forgive our debtors, help me always show mercy to others. And lead us not into temptation. Help me not to return from our sin. But deliver us from the evil one. Graciously rescue us from the power of the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remove my arrogance, Lord. May you have all power, now and forever, and through all eternity. Let it be so. Amen.